This was interesting last night, what you sent, man. It is insane what has been going on in studios, movies, TV, telecommunications. We've watched cable companies grow and shrink, and phone companies do the same. Singular, the famous, bringing cell phones to the average consumer. They don't exist anymore. They went back and forth with AT&T, and now, dude, fucking AT&T's like, we're done in the show business. We're going back to internet and phones, and they're selling off WarnerMedia and stuff, man. And what's going on?
I think they bit off more than they can chew, and everything that's been going on with DC is a clear example of that. Jason and I have said it for almost years now that AT&T had no business with Warner Brothers, and especially with DC characters, because they just really didn't care for them. Turns out they just really didn't have time or the money for them. I mean, we knew they didn't have the money, but they, like, seriously, what? You're so focused on 5G and making your phones better, and your bread and butter, and you're trying to be this giant conglomerate, and you just don't have the time or resources to put into it. Yeah, let somebody else who does take a swing at it, because it's affecting the product.
We'll have to see what happens in the end, but. Welcome to the show. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. More on them in a bit. Yeah, it's gonna be weird seeing what ends up happening. And for those of you that may have missed out on it, yesterday, basically a follow up on things that had happened earlier. Geez, dog. AT&T has already, made a deal for their DirecTV service and their universe, like all their cables / internet TV stuff, right? I guess it's over the air. It's not over the internet. That's been done in a deal where they're gonna get like some stakeholdings and stuff like that. But this deal's a little different. It's still mostly stock exchanges, debt exchanges, like you said, and basically Warner Brothers is going to or not Warner Brothers, sorry. AT&T is going to sell Warner Media, CNN, HBO Max, all of the rest of their TV stuff, based TV and movie stuff, to form a new venture with Discovery and Home and Garden TV, the Discovery Plus, and all of that. Like you said, this is at least getting back into the hands of content creators, or at least content publishers, versus a telephone company, the oldest telephone company. So you're pretty optimistic about this, Manny, huh?
Well, anything's better than what's been going on. So it would be like if Sony sold to literally anyone. Mm-hmm. It's a step in the right direction, and it's a new, fresh take on everything. And you kind of hope for the best. And I mean, it could end up the same thing, but now you're being, I doubt it though, because now you're being led by a group that is into multimedia entertainment, like TV and films, and you do all the cable shows, and that's exactly what you're into, and you're not worried about cell phone towers, and you're not worried about just cell phones in general. So all you're worried is about TV and movies, and so I think it would be great. But man, what a kind of embarrassing for AT&T and for all of them, for just having some of the most, so much wealth as far as what is what is in that entertainment sphere, like the I mean, they don't call it that anymore, but the dark universe of oh wait, no, that's Universal, sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Having all of DC, you have Godzilla, you have The Conjuring, you have, I mean, Cartoon Network, and just that's so much. Like, there's no reason why, like, how does that fail? And CNN, this is how.
I mean, yeah. I was kind of shocked that it went through the way that it seems to be going through. Like I said with the big stock change under the terms of the deal, and this comes from the Hollywood Reporter. Warner Media and Discovery will merge through a complex all-stock move called a reverse Morse transaction that would see AT&T receive $43 billion in cash, debt securities, and Warner Media's retention of certain debt, and AT&T's shareholders would receive stock representing 71% of the new company. And I promise you guys, this is not what's that? What's the business morning show where they talk like stock futures and stuff? But anyways, this isn't that. This is LR Mornings, and but that's crazy. That seems to be the big thing to me, is that debt. Like AT&T was just looking at not just the debt that they have, you know, to expand, like you said, 5G towers and stuff, but the debt that Warner had themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, we'll let you guys go, but you're going to take your shit with you. And I think the other important thing about this story, like I think you pointed out either last night or this morning already, the fact that the people over at Discovery are their board is going to apparently be in charge mostly of the new mm-hmm. group. And dude, that's massive, given all that's happened to Warner Brothers and in the media with Zack Snyder, Joss Whedon, and Ray Fisher. Do you think that has anything to do with AT&T also trying to get rid of it?
No, I really think it has to do with the fact that they have too much going on, and they just don't know what to do with it. And I mean, something like Warner Media needs that money. You need to throw as much as you can on it for it to be successful. You have mm-hmm. all the properties, you just have to make them happen, and obviously that costs money. And right now, unless that's what your total focus is, you're not going to split your assets to try and fund TV and movies when your bread and butter is cell phones.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of services and things like that. So you can only put so much in it before you're like, okay, and you know, that's enough, because we have this is not our priority. And I think they recognized that and said, okay, we probably need to get rid of this. I mean, they're still gonna be part in the stocks and mm-hmm. involved and everything, but yeah, it's I think it's a very welcoming move for audiences if you really think about it.
I kind of looked at the DirecTV deal similar to back when CBS and Viacom split and then rejoined, and then also looking at Singular and how, you know, Singular went to AT&T, and then AT&T bought Singular Wireless, made it all AT&T wireless. That deal, the DirecTV deal, and the fact that they still, the way I understood the deal, have some control and controlling interest in the new company that runs that. That to me seems like they're one foot in, one foot out, because I don't think that they've necessarily given up on being Comcast, NBC / Universal, or what, I don't even know what to call NBC Universal. I guess that's it. Yeah, it's weird. I think overall though that this is potentially going to, I don't know if it'll save DCC, but I think I think you're gonna see a resurgence and a push for the comics, because again, you're talking about a TV company, a studio wanting to make content versus cell phone towers.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think will happen with the comics side of things? Because I know that's been a big concern with AT&T in charge, because they were making it seem like they were going to give it up on its own, like go be DC, but we're keeping all the movie rights.
Yeah, I don't know, because the comics are in their eyes, not in my eyes. I just wanted to point that out. Yeah. In their eyes, it's such a small part of it, and the profit isn't as big as everything else. So it's just a matter of that board and seeing how much value they see in it. But you never know. It could be a group of enthusiasts who believe in the base of the stories, in the foundation of where all of the product comes from. So it just depends on who's running it. But like I said, because it's somebody who's now focused on media, this could be a very good thing for the comics as well, just due to the fact that they're owned by Warner Media, and it just trickles down. So if things are starting to get better at the top, then it should trickle down all the way to the comic books.
So let's play devil's advocate a little bit more here with the entertainment news. And again, guys, if you're just joining us, welcome, and please hit the subscribe button or the follow button, whether you're on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. I wonder on the other side. Do you think Discovery, because you know they launched their Discovery Plus, which a lot of people love. I love Food Network and Cooking Channel, which is basically the only reason we still had DirecTV. I kept threatening to leave so they'd give us like entry level pricing and stuff, but I wonder if they looked at it and saw AT&T struggling, and they just saw an opportunity themselves. Like it's again different. AT&T was like, oh, we're gonna just become the next big everything company. Mm-hmm. While Discovery's like, we're just going to be the best TV and now TV and streaming company we can be. I wonder, because like you said, are there some diehard fans on the board? Dude, you and I both know that almost every industry today is chuck filled with people like you and I that are geeky in nature and watched, read comic book movies and all that. And they all went to business school, law school, got their MBAs, got into IT, got into studio. They've got to be on that board, right? And then we're everywhere. We're everywhere else.
Obviously, they have to believe in it. Yeah, they obviously believe in the product. It would be hard to believe that they didn't, just because there's probably quite a bit of excitement over there, because it gives them a bigger, better platform for some of the channels that are generally loved by audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves the Food Network. No, yes. Nobody's complaining about that. But the problem is that to access it, unless you have cable, it's a little bit difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with Discovery. Discovery has some very, very good documentaries, as we've seen, and some shows that you could get into real easily. But as far as streaming wise, there wasn't really a good platform for it. Mm. And now they can potentially have just this huge Warner platform to latch onto and really become offer a lot more than what was available.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to the joining of Discovery with HBO Max, because I've got one and I don't have the other. I miss Cutthroat Kitchen. I would love to see that come back. So
it got a little far fetched toward the end, like in the first season, the first a few or whatever. They were fine because the different challenges that they had to go through while they were cooking were a little bit
manageable,
realistic and manageable. And then towards the end, it got really, really far fetched as far as some of the things they had to do. And that's kind of when when they lost me a little bit.
at the risk of pissing Chef Brown off, who in my culinary deity hierarchy, you've got Chef Brown as God, and then you've got Chef Tila as Jesus, and then you got Chef or not he's weird. A lot of people refer to him as a chef, and some people don't because he's more on the critic and cookbook side than he is on the cooking side. But Simon Majumdar, I can't pronounce his name right with a fucking stutter, but he's Satan, and I love it. Like that is my culinary deities right there, and then the bad guy. Simon's just hilarious. And the reason why I called Jet Chef Tila the Jesus of the group is whenever he would judge people, he'd be like, "Look, this is garbage, and I hate it with a passion, but good for you for coming down here and try." Like, he would just rip you to shreds with a smile on his face. It was great. I loved it. But I think I wonder if that was during a time where Chef Brown had some issues in his personal life, because I think that may have been around the same time that there were some things going on. And I wonder if that led to the downfall of the show, because like you said, it kind of got brutal there. Like, I like the first camp Cutthroat, but like the second one, I was like, oh, how do people do this? So, anything else to say about Warner and AT&T, man?
No, I kind of got a good story for you coming up too.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and take a word from our sponsors real quick over at Grow Generation, and yeah, take it away, Cam.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
All right, thanks. You guys, please do be sure to check them out over at growgeneration.com and let them know who sent you over there. What do you got, Manny? What do you want to talk about now?
So something really interesting that's happening in theaters, and it begins with me watching WrestleMania Backlash last night, which was sponsored by Netflix's Army of the Dead. So, in what is called a lumberjack match, which for anyone who does not know what that is where superstars surround the ring while two people fight, and as they get thrown out, they usually get beat up and they get thrown back in. So fun stuff. So during last night's match between The Miz and Damian Priest, they surrounded the ring with zombies. And this was all, of course, as a promotion to the sponsor of the show, Army of the Dead. And it ended with The Miz being mauled by a group of zombies and being eaten alive. It looked really good. And, being that wrestling is entertainment as it is, I thought it was really fun and really cool, which isn't the story, but it's part of Army of the Dead, and I think that was very clever advertising, and it was a lot of, yep, that's it right there. It was fun, and it is what it is. But here's what I didn't know: Army of the Dead was supposed to premiere this weekend on Netflix, and what happened is it premiered this weekend in theaters. So what's happening is that there's not enough movies right now for theaters,
Thanks, Marvel.
and not just across the
I
board,
know.
everyone pushed their stuff back,
Yeah.
and so now theaters are compromising on certain terms about length of release and things like that, and they're now having access to Netflix films. So
More
there are
than just
several.
the Oscar movie one,
Right,
minimum things, yeah.
there's several theaters across the nation right now that are actually already playing Army of the Dead
Wow.
in theaters before the release on Friday. And
Wow.
it's because of the fact that the post-COVID openings has really changed the name of the game, and desperation calls for desperate measures. And part of it is now kind of having to deal with, okay, well, I guess we're going to try to fill in some of these holes with Netflix films. And so what analysts are saying via the Wall Street Journal, and I wrote a piece on it last night too, that this shortage of films could actually last for about 2 or 3 years before they really catch up.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it's a real interesting to see that kind of that theaters have really lost the advantage at all with anything, and now they're really at the mercy of streamers saying, cool, you can play our movies, but you can only play it for like 2 weeks before or a week before we're going to put it back on our streaming service. And right now theaters have no choice but to say, fine, we'll
do
sure.
It. Do it. Yeah.
And on the streamer side, it benefits them so much because now it gives them the opportunity to dangle that carrot at directors and say, look, we are having we will have a theatrical release for you, mm-hmm. for your film, something that was keeping some directors away from streamers.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Netflix is ahead of the game because look, they're the ones already doing it.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. Theaters in different states that had different rules throughout the last, 14, 15 months had the theaters, getting permission to play old movies, public domains stuff, renting out theaters for private screenings of whatever you want to do, a birthday. We have a theater here legitimately. It was like $150 for whatever you want to do with their party room, one screen, and whatever you're going to put up there. You're going to put two hours of My Little Pony, have at it, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. I like that idea. I wonder if anyone's gotten to play Xbox in a in a theater. Yeah, I'm sure someone has got to have.
I've seen it on social media work. So there's been some groups who I've seen them play like Smash Brothers.
And yeah, I would. Like I don't understand why we already haven't seen more of that from guys. For those who might be new, I'm brain dead. Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft doing stuff like that. Esports, you're talking the ability to, put eight people socially distanced in a room to play an eight person Smash tournament. You know.
Yeah, but the thing is that gamers don't want to play on a screen that big.
Mm.
Doesn't.
That's doesn't work. True. the like pro gamers and stuff, which you could easily put them in on smaller screens in front of them if you want. I'm just looking for things to make content. So maybe not necessarily play the game on the big screen, but let's broadcast some of these esports tournaments in theaters. Sports, for example, I know that's really complicated when you talk of the national and international leagues like the NBA, NHL. Let's go Pens. And it's a little different, but I think there's a way to get theaters, all those watch parties that you do at like playoffs and championships and use the theaters, partner with your local high school, college, or if you can national or minor league teams, I have a lot of hope and good faith in people getting back into theaters, but it'll take time and people are going to lose jobs and we're still going to lose some screens and we're still going to lose some buildings. But I don't know, man. What do you think? Do you think maybe we'll see more things like that? Like theaters looking for additional things to put on the screen?
Well, they're going to have to. I can see that. Logistically, though, doing sports on screens is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because even broadcasting them at restaurants,
commercials and
cable. Oh yeah. My God, that is it gets really expensive. Like when you try to stream fights or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's, I mean, a UFC fight is a perfect example of that. But at the same time, when you watch sports, when you watch fights, you kind of don't necessarily want to be in a theater setting. You kind of want to be in that kind of group home field setting where you can talk with the boys and grab chips and you know, go off to the side and do something real quick, play a game while you're doing it. There's a lot more to it, I think, than just sitting down in a theater
and
focusing on that event.
Which is why I've never done one of those watch your home team from like inside the arena or at a an outside of the arena if they're at home but sold out because of that. Like, it's like I'd love to be in the stands. I'll be in the stands for any sport live is awesome. Like, I love playing baseball and watching it live, but I can only watch like one game a week on TV.
I watch all the games all week.
That's how I am with hockey. I can watch any hockey game, but I can only watch so much baseball. But live, both are awesome. And I can't wait. Our local affiliate for I can't say it because anyway, they're opening to tomorrow, and I'm excited about that. So yeah, I can get that point. Yeah. I don't know. Like you said, the streaming stuff offers things, and it's gonna be slow. We're just gonna have to. We lost two theaters by the pandemic. Now, so somebody might come in and reopen them as theaters, but Regal and AMC, I want to say, each shut down one location here.
That's insane. And like I was telling you, in our area, we had one remodeled, upgraded, and we have another new Regal that's going to be opening very soon.
Wow. Yeah. And, no, they closed.
And we didn't lose our local theater, thank God. And our drive-in is doing well as well.
I wonder what's going to happen with the people that made drive-ins. You know, they went and put up the right stuff, or you know, put up a Band-Aid or whatever. I kind of hope maybe the drive-ins will stick around this time. I'd like to go back and experience a professional drive-in, not the ones that everyone was grateful for that got, you know, just set up. But what do you think about that, man? You think they might stick around this time?
Well, they never left anywhere. It's just people just weren't going to them as much.
They left like 40 states.
not in our town. Not in our town. Our town drive-in is a staple. So
yeah, I've probably been. You and I have probably been in the same drive-in, probably. At the same time, and didn't know it.
They're fun. They're different. They're different experiences, and they're so much fun. There's almost a community feel to it sometimes, where you know everyone's setting up their food and everything, tables and their mattresses and everything in the back of their pickup truck. If you haven't had an opportunity to go to a drive-in, you're missing out on one of America's great pastimes that you just don't have a chance to as much anymore. And I implore you to try to find one and experience that, because it's different and it's a whole lot of fun. I've done it in the summer. I've done it in the fall. Sometimes it's colder than other times, and it's just, but if you're ready for it, you'll be fine. You'll have a good time.
I can remember seeing several theaters, several movies at a drive-in somewhere around, Salinas, I think, because we went with my cousin and her family a few times when we lived in Marina, Fort Ord, basically out there in Monterey Bay, like right there. And yeah, I can remember seeing several movies there, and I haven't been to a legit drive-in. God, I can't even remember the last movie I saw at one. I know, as like an AV file, I love, you know, good quality images, and I'm not as technically savvy on, you know, color corrections and all that, but I can, I've got that eye for, you know, the refresh rates and dropping frames, because I'm used to gaming monitors, like you said, you know, we've talked about in the past with them. And I've always had an issue with movie theaters as, like, home screens got better, and movie theaters started to lag, but behind. You remember before, like, DLP and all that? It was just like, oh, my God, like, I'd rather watch a DVD on my PS2 than this movie on the big screen, because it just looks like, oh, you guys fixed it. Oh, you're charging me more for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but now those types of projectors that were like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a piece to invest in, if not more, you can now pick one up for your home, but basically, and pop up a 10-foot screen or whatever in a homemade theater, and you're all set, man. I mean, you're almost at legit, like, depending on your setup, 4K, looking at potential 60 frames per second, you know, like, it's insane. Some of the do-it-yourself home theaters setups I've seen, but it's still not the same as being in that chair with that smell and all those strangers, and especially today, and things like Endgame and Infinity War and the cheers and the I fucking love the movie. I do. Speaking of movies, last couple things, we got a couple clips over the weekend from Snake Eyes and Loki and Black Widow. First off, you put anything dealing with Loki in front of me, and I'm down with it for the most part. And what's his name as Mobius? Wilson. He is just great in the small clip where we meet Loki and Mobius in the elevator and stuff, and he's doing the talky bit that we've seen in the trailer. And then the Black Widow trailer is just part of the car chase scene. It's an action set piece. I'm not going to lie, Manny. I forgot I was watching it and had to go back and rewatch it because I didn't care. Did you see it?
The thing is, with Black Widow, I'm kind of reaching to the point of Tenet,
mm-hmm.
where I've heard so much about it for so long, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not, there's nothing, and it has nothing to do with the movie. It's just it's been lagged on for so long and pushed back, and then we keep, you know, clips and this and that of it, and it's like, yeah, I don't even need to watch this anymore. I'm kind of done. Can we just move on? Like, I haven't seen Tenet for that same reason. Like, I got so sick of the whole idea that Tenet was going to save theaters, mm-hmm. and the universe, because Christopher Nolan thinks his movies are so fantastic.
Decent. That mostly.
Well, I'm not saying they're bad, but I mean, great. If you're a filmmaker, you should describe your films that way.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, dude, like, chill. Your movie was not going to save theaters.
Yeah.
It was not going to happen. So that's kind of where I'm with Black Widow. It's just like, I need this to come out so I can get it over with. Mm. Let's move on. I'm done.
I was just going to say, I'm just sad that I felt that way, because it's got Taskmaster, dude. And I fucking love that guy. Like, I've been dying. Like, he's the number three person I wanted to see in the MCU. It was Mysterio, Kingpin, just said his name, Taskmaster. Mm-hmm. And I got two out of the three. So, like, it was kind of sad to sit there and be like, oh, I was watching this clip. Let me go back. But I did like the Loki stuff. But like you said, Black Widow, it's like, oh my God, it's supposed to have been out last year. And supposed to be out this year already twice.
But now we got a firm date. That's kind of why I like if you think about what, like, 007 mm-hmm. is doing. They're just super, like, they're like, all right, we're going to take our movie away. And they just walked away, and mm-hmm. you've not heard a thing about it. That's kind of what I want. It's like, almost, okay.
Yeah.
And I know that Fast and the Furious did a pretty good job too at just being super quiet about it. I know recently Toretto. What's his name who plays Toretto? Jesus Christ.
I don't
know. You know, Dom.
Oh, the main guy?
Yeah, freaking what's
Groot? Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, thanks. Yeah, he put up a quick little video about, you know, returning to theaters and being excited about being back. I'm ready for that franchise to die. But it's funny putting movies back in theaters and stuff like that, because now Avatar is number one once again in the world, because they played it again in China and things, and it is what it is, man. I honestly didn't even think Avatar was that great.
No, not even when it first kicked in. I gave it props for the tech demo that it was. Like, yeah, dude, thank you for helping push, CGI. Thank you for pushing filming technology, cameras, and editing software. And, it's like George Lucas, I'm very, very thankful for all the great things you did. But, I watched A New Hope over the weekend, and dude can't write. Or shit for lines. What's the word I'm looking at? Dialogue. Just, he can't. Look at the prequels and then compare the dialogue heavy parts of A New Hope to Empire or Jedi. And it's just, oh, thanks, Lucas. You got great ideas. But like a lot of people with great ideas, somebody else has to execute it. It's not
sometimes,
bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. You know,
sometimes that's true, but because Avatar, I was like, okay, got it. Cowboys and Indians, got it. Okay, this is it. This is pretty much it, with some weird things where you connect to animals. Okay,
Ferngully and Cowboys and Indians, which Ferngully itself was almost a Cowboys and I know people are gonna get mad hearing the word, but that's what it's called, people. That's the context of it.
I'm very, very adamant about that. I think my daughter the other day was telling me, it's like, yeah, we're learning about Indians, and I turned around and I said who told you that? And she says, oh, my teacher did. I was like I'm a, okay, describe the context. And then she started telling me about the tribe, and I was like, no, that's not, those are not Indians, those are Native Americans. I may have to send your teacher an email, because I was like, Indians live in India.
Yeah,
and I was like,
unless
was like
you're using the,
I was like, the reason being is that we had some guy who was trying to get tea, mm-hmm. and he ended up on the wrong continent, and when he did, he called them Indians, and that hasn't been right. So that's not right. You need it. And then she was like, okay, all right, I understand. And now she's correct about it.
But in context of the old fashioned American game or genre of TV and westerns, mm-hmm. Cowboys and Indians is fine.
Well, hell, you still have the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, I mean, for the time being, they're
One needs to change.
So, we'll see what happens with it all in the end. But the last trailer that came out, I wanted your take on it, which I think I might already know. Snake Eyes. Did you see it?
I could have not.
Okay.
It came out last night. I saw it in my inbox.
Yeah.
And then it just happened to be, I fell asleep. I had a long weekend. I had a very, very long weekend.
Yeah, I feel you on that. It is, look, I'm not going to lie. I didn't see all of the second G.I. Joe movie. I saw, the majority I saw all of the first one. I didn't see, like I said, the majority of the second one. This did nothing for me, man. I love martial arts films. I loved G.I. Joe as a kid, but I don't know. And then the whole title of G.I. Joe Origins just, it seems so cheesy, and none of it in a good way to me. Did you like either the G.I. Joe films when they first hit?
So I just didn't like the amount of tech that they gave all of the Joes. Like, I appreciated the fact that they had tech, But it got to the point where it was like, okay, so really anybody can be these Joes.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they lost some of what made them special in the past, you know, because they were just badass soldiers, right? And in this case, they were just wearing all these mech suits that made them run faster and jump farther and whatever. So I think that was my issue with it, was that with the amount of tech that they had, it was almost like a cop out for making a good character. And so I didn't have any interest in it because I did not really enjoy Joes when I was growing up. Just because it wasn't my cup of tea. But when I watched
the real American hero,
I didn't play with male Barbies. That's why.
You and I.
Give me some characterization. Give me some. Show me why Joe is the badass that he is. Don't just give me almost this Michael Bay level tech.
That's what it was. Did he produce it?
Didn't he? Yeah, I mean, probably. It didn't work for me.
Yeah.
As far as that, because I just give me some reason why they're heroes other than the gadgets that they have.
Yeah, I can definitely get behind that idea 1,000%. I hope it's good for the people that want to see it. I'm hoping maybe at least it'll be a good action assassin type film, you know.
Right.
If it can do that much, like you and I've mentioned about Ghostbusters, the Afterlife movie could be a great supernatural film, but it might not necessarily be a good Ghostbusters movie. This could be a good assassin flick, just might not necessarily really be a G.I. Joe movie.
Well, I mean, it just focuses on Snake Eyes, so yeah. I don't know how much of a quote unquote Joe movie.
Yeah, well, yeah. They show Scarlet, I think is her name,
right?
In there. Mm-hmm. And
Baroness and, is in it as well.
Yeah, so there's a little sprinkling, but yeah, I hope they just focus on the I forget his group's name, their version of the foot or whatever.
I'll be the foot, the hand, the elbow, whatever. I'll be focusing a lot on the martial arts and the action sequences, how it's cut, put together, the length of them, to really see, are you guys going for the look, or are you guys actually going for the actual practice
feel, and realistic and who, feel,
because we'll see how that turns out. And that's really what I guess I'll have to focus on. And then if it has a good plot behind it, great, but that's not why you're going to go see Snake Eyes. You know, you don't go for the plot, you go for the action.
Yes. And to that point, before we wrap it up for the day, for the morning, that Mortal Kombat choreography and the stunt team and the actors and themselves, dude, that was just some really, really good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. If you've not seen Mortal Kombat yet, at least check out some of the fight clips, because
some of it is decent. Some of it is good.
Not all of it. No,
you can tell. You can tell where the martial art expert are. Ends and the actors come in as far as how it's cut and put together,
and also
but it's how, done well.
Yeah, and also how many actors did a lot of more of their fights versus others.
It did. Yeah, and that was what made it good. I had no idea, but I've just talked to the screenwriter for Snake Eyes a couple weeks ago.
Oh wow!
Yeah, Evan Stipulopoulos. I just talked to him about The Unholy.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was actually kind of fun. Cool. I didn't know that he did Snake Eyes. That's going to be interesting. I look for a lot more of that in action films now. Just, all right, if you're an action film, what are you giving me as far as quality? And it has to do a lot with the way it's all cut together. If I'm not that I necessarily want to plug in another channel or anything, but if you check out Corridor Crew's videos, they break down a lot of fight scenes, a lot of things like that. And it really broadens your view and perspective on how to judge a fight scene. And then you kind of, what ends up happening is you end up appreciating some of the older films, and you appreciate some of the things that like Bruce Lee did, Jackie Chan still does to this day. And you get this profound appreciation for continuous shots. Mm-hmm. and why they're so difficult. And so I if you get a chance, I'd watch some of those to kind of build your cinematic knowledge up, because it's really good stuff. It's
yeah,
how I've started to notice a lot more things and enjoy films and CGI and all that great stuff.
Definitely. You want a great things to check out in addition to Bruce Lee. Check out old Sonny Chiba's films, his old martial arts films. Phenomenal. It's yeah. Hopefully it's at least good in that sense. Like we said, the martial arts assassin aspect of it, which is focused on the set piece, the action, the hand-to-hand combat. Thank you guys so much for listening today. Please do, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Grow Generation, thank you guys for sponsoring the show as always. Cool things coming up this week, guys. Live show on Thursday is kicking off the brand new Daily Cup of Genre as LR Morning transitions into that. So please be sure to tune in for that. And of course, check out the podcast network, wherever you get your podcast from, Spotify, SoundCloud's really cool. Our playlists are public there, and we got everything broken down by shows and topic and stuff. Yeah, and then of course lrmonline.com every day for all of your entertainment news, needs and opinions. And yeah, there's social media information down below. But Manny, what else you got coming up this week?
Actually, I got quite a lot of good stuff coming up this week. I'm working with Disney's new short films for Disney Plus. They're called Launchpad. They're very cultural oriented. It's fantastic short films. Lots of new directors coming up, and they're going to be showcasing it in some great films. I actually have all the directors for them. Wow. I mean, it's like 5, 6, 7 interviews, I think, that I got to do. Today, actually, I have Amy Garcia for MODOK, the new Hulu Marvel venture. And then later this week, I will be talking with one of the actresses from the new Conjuring film. So cool. I'm busy.
Yeah. That's all the more reason for you guys to hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel, especially not all of our interviews get to go up in audio format, but they're up on that YouTube channel. So again, subscribe, share us with some friends and family, follow us at the social media links at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at LRM underscore Emmanuel on Twitter. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.